Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah. And it comes a little bit out of the blue at this time of year, but the very first chapter of Jeremiah, beginning in verse 4. This is one of those that theologians tend to call a call narrative, a story of one of God's people being called by God into a unique and important ministry. So let us read together, beginning in chapter 1, verse 4 of the book of Jeremiah. "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations.' Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I'm only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.' Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Now I have put my words into your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.'" I am a bit of a sucker for Disney movies. I don't know if you are. I don't know if you've watched everyone that's ever been out, but I'm sure that I have. There are some that I can repeat to you almost word for word from my childhood. And for a while, I think Disney went through a little bit of a lull. They weren't very good. They finally came out with one in about 2010 called Tangled. And it was sort of the renaissance of Disney getting good stories back together. Well, this, of course, is the story of Rapunzel locked in her tower and her journey to freedom from her tower. Well, there's a scene that I want to call to your mind from the movie Tangled. How many of you have seen it? Okay, enough. Go watch it. It's a great movie. It's a good story. Rapunzel, who has been locked in her tower by an evil Mother Gothel, so that Mother Gothel could extort and exploit her. She had magical hair. This is a little bit different than the normal fairy tale. Her hair was able to provide healing and renew life to anyone who sang, I guess. And so Mother Gothel would take Rapunzel's hair and sing and be given sort of youth. Well, Rapunzel, of course, is stuck in this tower and her entire life. She's never been down to the ground. She's never seen other people apart from Mother Gothel, who's not her real mother, but sort of an evil person that captured her from her mom and dad, who were the king and queen of this particular kingdom. So Rapunzel is, in part, a princess. All Disney movies, of course, have a princess. Well, Rapunzel, throughout her life, has noticed that every year on her birthday, there are these floating lanterns that she can see far in the distance. And she has an urge to go see these floating lanterns. She doesn't know why. She can't explain it. She can only say, there's something that draws me to these floating lanterns that appear every birthday that I have. And so, to skip forward in the story somewhat quickly, as she is longing to see these floating lanterns, and there's another, of course, every princess has to have her prince, or maybe every prince has to have his princess, I'm not sure. Nonetheless, there is Flynn Rider, who is sort of a mischievous young fellow who is always up to sort of no good, but As he is on the run from authorities after having stolen the princess's crown, which is sort of ironic because it's really Rapunzel's crown, Flynn Rider coincidentally ends up at Rapunzel's tower escaping those who are following him. He climbs up and he and Rapunzel have an engagement, and she sort of realizes this guy might be able to lead me out of this tower and to see the floating lanterns, something that she's always longed to do. So she bullies him a bit into doing this for her. And Flynn decides to take her on. Well, not long into their journey to go see the floating lanterns, Flynn really doesn't want to be doing this, and so he takes her to the Snuggly Duckling. The Snuggly Duckling is a little tavern filled with ruffians, and Flynn thinks that he can scare Rapunzel away from this journey to see the floating lanterns so he can get back on his way to mischief making. Well, unbeknownst to Flynn, the ruffians in this little Snuggly Duckling tavern aren't too happy with him. He's a wanted convict in the kingdom. And so they realize quickly that Flynn is there and are none too happy with him. They're going to beat him up and get some revenge on him for other things that he's done, because he's apparently mistreated them throughout their time. Well, this isn't good for Rapunzel, of course, and so she gets the ruffian's attention in a pretty dramatic fashion, and she explains and exclaims to them upon getting their attention, "Let him go! Find your humanity," Rapunzel says. "I have this dream of seeing the floating lanterns, and this is the only person who can get me there. I've never seen another soul. Find your humanity. Haven't you ever had a dream?" And of course, then there's one of those great, fun Disney songs, which I can't sing for you today. "Find your humanity. Haven't you ever had a dream?" I think there are times in our lives when we've all had dreams. Whether it's a dream from our childhood, whether it's the dream of a particular vocation or a job, whether it's the dream of finding our own prince or princess in this life, whether it's a dream of having children, whether it's a dream of going on some far-off elaborate vacation, whether it's a dream of just finding peace and healing among situations such as those that we prayed for just moments ago. Sometimes, unfortunately, we become captive, just like Rapunzel was in her tower, and our dreams seem to elude us. We find ourselves stuck, unable to get towards our dreams, wondering even what our dreams used to be, not sure of the path forward, not sure if we can ever realize the dream that is before us. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe in high school, you dreamed of changing the world, but now the world seems too big, too large, and you just feel stuck to make the change that you once thought you could do. Maybe at some point in your life you fantasized about serving God in some amazing way, but then over the years you settled into your life and just one day realized that you had a routine that sort of seems rote. Or maybe you've dreamed of hearing a clear call, a clear word from God, but simply cannot say with certainty that you have ever really heard it as clearly as you think you should. And you wonder if you'll ever hear that call. Maybe you have heard, but like Jeremiah, you feel afraid or unworthy to really take upon yourself that call, that dream. And so now is simply not the right time. Maybe another person could do it better. Maybe another time in the future would be a better opportunity or more convenient. And so at some point that dream has gotten lost. I wonder what your dreams are for yourselves. I bet you haven't stopped dreaming. We talked a little bit last week about what our dreams were for this church, and we began sharing those with one another. What our collective dreams are, and how our unique individual dreams come together to make a larger dream for Hood Memorial Christian Church. And I think in many ways, Jeremiah has something to say to us today. His story comes to us, if we were to look back a little further, from a place of captivity. Israel was held captive, and the audience that would have heard these words from Jeremiah when it was first written were held captive by nations that had come and conquered them. And so when they hear Jeremiah's story, they are literally sitting atop their own tower, waiting to find their own floating lanterns. And into that story, Jeremiah is called by God. Call stories in the Bible are important. They speak to us in different and unique ways. And there are other stories that you might recall, such as Moses in the burning bush, where he was called by God for a unique task. There's the call of Gideon in the book of Judges, where God reassures Gideon of his presence and offers him a sign as he calls Gideon to the task of being a judge. There's the call of Isaiah, of course, in the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah finds himself in a divine throne room, his lips being touched by that burning coal. Perhaps you remember that story. There are all sorts of call narratives in our Bible, in our Holy Scriptures. But the emphasis of this particular call story, where Jeremiah is called by God to become a prophet, is a little different. It has a little bit of different emphasis, in part because it's so intimate. God speaks to Jeremiah as a father and as a mother, saying, as if to sit down with Jeremiah in a very intimate moment. Imagine yourself sitting down with your child, perhaps, and having really something extremely important to say. Son, daughter, I knew you before you were even born. I knew you in my womb. I knew you in your mother's womb. I spoke with you. I prayed with you. I sung to you. This is the kind of image that is evoked in Jeremiah as God begins speaking to Jeremiah and calling him to a task, letting us know that God is intimately involved with God's people, calling them, preparing them, forming them before they are even born. Yes, they, but even more, you and I. Jeremiah, of course, doesn't feel equipped. I'm just not ready. I'm not enough. I'm only a boy. Jeremiah feels limited, of course, not up to the challenge, not prepared, not strong enough, not good enough, not able to speak clearly enough. You see, I think this is often our response to God when we're called. In fact, that innate human response to any kind of change in our life, change away from the direction that we think we're headed, that we've always been dreaming of headed, is a bit of fear. Change is hard and can be difficult sometimes, and so when we're faced with change before us, it's easy to be anxious, to be scared, to be afraid. But that Jeremiah experiences those feelings and is so real with God in his response, I'm not good enough, I'm only a boy, it shows us that he's a real person. That he has all the same fears and anxieties and inadequacies that we all have. When faced with change, when faced with something new, when we're not sure that we're up to the task that God might be calling us towards. Jeremiah, in this way, is kind of the everyman's prophet. He's just like you, he's just like me in all of our inadequacies. Fortunately, his feelings don't disqualify him from serving God's intentions. And so God steps in to offer Jeremiah a word of encouragement. Do not say, I only. Don't say you're not enough. Don't say you don't have enough strength. Don't say you can't speak well enough. Don't say those things. Because look what I'm going to do. I will send you out. I will command you. I will speak from your mouth. I will be with you. No matter what comes. God offers comfort. God seeks to support and encourage and send Jeremiah forth. God commissions Jeremiah, even through the image of reaching out and touching Jeremiah's mouth and saying, listen, I'm putting the words into your mouth even as you speak. I'm appointing you. I'm setting you up for this task. And then there's these great little verbs that pop in here. To pluck up, to pull down, to destroy, to overthrow. to build and to plant. It's interesting that even as God calls Jeremiah to this unique task of being a prophet, prophets, of course, don't have easy jobs. Nobody likes prophets. They come into town and they get shooed away. They're saying a word from God that really nobody wants to hear. Sometimes preachers feel themselves as prophets, saying words that they think folks don't want to hear. But the interesting aspect of God's words to Jeremiah here is that they're death and rebirth words. Jeremiah, first we've got to pull some things down. We've got to pluck them up. We've got to destroy them. We've got to overthrow them and overtake them. Images of death. But death isn't the only part of our faith. No, our faith is also about building and planting. And so there are words of rebirth that God gives to Jeremiah. This is God's commission to Jeremiah to go out and to be a prophet. That you will have to tear some things down, but more importantly, you will have to build some things up. Jeremiah is commissioned by God to take a message of death and rebirth to His people, so that even in the forecast of judgment, there is the promise of new life. No matter your or my situation, God is planting dreams within us today as every day. God is calling us to unique things in unique places, to unique people. And God's call seems to follow a sort of pattern, if we pay attention to folks like Jeremiah. It follows a pattern in both Scripture and in our lives. God comes to us and interrupts our life with a dream, with a vision, with a call, and issues us marching orders to go out and do something, to go out and be something, to go out and say something. And we, humble, often inadequate feeling recipients, we resist that call. Often for very good reasons. We feel ill prepared. We want some training. We want some schooling. We need some strength. And yet God insists. God persists over our lives. God reassures us and empowers us, just as we hear in the story of Jeremiah. This is not unlike that Rapunzel story. You see, even Rapunzel, called by the floating lanterns, has a dream to go see them as she's drawn to them and has a passion to find out what they're about. It just so happens that these floating lanterns are from her kingdom, that they are actually set off each year to call her back to her mother and father, the king and the queen. These lanterns embody the intersection of Rapunzel's call and the needs of her kingdom. And she resists for some time, not trusting that she could go out and find these, staying in her captivity, not sure that she's strong enough or wise enough or good enough. Her mother says, no, you can't do this. And so she follows those orders, even though she feels called to this particular task. We all have floating lanterns before us. A call from God that we are drawn to. A dream that was planted in us long ago of something that we care passionately about. And there are inevitably questions that we have. Doubts, uncertainties, and fears that hold us captive. Captive in a tower like Rapunzel. Captive to move forward like Jeremiah. God, however, is relentless in calling us. Because the world needs us. The world needs us right at the intersection of our passion. A wise theologian and preacher, Frederick Buechner, has captured all this in a single phrase, stating to us that the place that God calls us is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. The place God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet and join together. A favorite songwriter of mine from the Baptist world is named Kyle Matthews, and he's written a song that uses this Frederick Buechner idea of our passions and the world's needs meeting together. And he sings that when your great passion meets the world's great need, then you are becoming who you are meant to be. Friends, I think there's truth to that. That truth is embodied in Jeremiah's story, and it is embodied in that great Disney tale about Rapunzel. And so we are on a quest to seek our passion, to understand the world's need as a church, so that we might find our place in this community and become all that God has for us to be in this moment. The question before us today then, as every day, is to get clear about our passion, to get clear about the needs around us. What is your dream? As Rapunzel said, find your humanity. Haven't you ever had a dream? Certainly you do. A wise man once said that when we stop dreaming, we stop living. What is your dream? What is the dream, the passion, the call of this church, of our family of faith here? What is the dream and the passion of our members here that uniquely come together to make up Hood Memorial Christian Church? And what are the needs around us in our community, those who are hurting, who need a family of faith, a people on mission? And where is the intersection of our passion and those needs? And how can we come together to recognize our call from God to be uniquely a community of faith on the corner of Cumberland and Clinton? That is the task before us. Friends, when we answer those questions for today, 2016, then we will truly be following the call of Christ for each of us.